Here we left at Siman Tov Lamed Gimel, and we got up to Sif Chof Tes. Let's do Sif, subsection 29. So over here we're talking about again the holes in the walls. Now in the olden days it wasn't plastered. Most of the walls were actually created probably out of stones, and the stones weren't even. And people didn't have that much closet space. They didn't have that much places, and things weren't as we have them today. So people would use sometime these different holes for various different extra storage places. So he says that before we also talked about the house, how what to do about them depending if they're very low or very high, but here we're talking about specifically those are the walls of the courtyard. They had a courtyard and the stone probably or whatever wall, and there's holes in there. So if they're not, if they're not too high and they're not too low, before too low meant lower than three tfachim, and too high meant beyond the easy reach of the person, then you would need to search them, again, provided if you're accustomed to use there. Now, one would ask, why does he have to tell you this halacha again when we already learned it? Because before we learned anything like on the floor, because the ravens are there, they would pick up, so you can technically throw it out over there and then not have to worry about that it's there for Pesach. But what he's saying is, the ravens are not commonly found in these holes. They're not going to go to the hole and pick up the chametz. So even though I told you in your backyard, which is open, you can technically leave it over there, you can assume that they picked it up, but not in the holes, because that's not something where they get to. Yeah?
But I can see the height, you know, limitation, because you can't reach, and the chametz wouldn't be up there. But why?
The low limitation.
Yeah, I mean, you can
actually
bend over.
Okay, so actually before we learned by the low limitation, it made a distinction between whether you have a home with little children or you by yourself. Apparently, if it was an inconvenient kind of use, people didn't use it. Of course, if you know that you used it, you put chametz in, that wouldn't make a difference, low or high. But we're talking about what is the assumption. Do we need to assume that you put there or not? So we learned actually a difference between whether there's little kids over there or there's no
kids,
little kids.
Meaning you would search it.
Then you would search it, because kids can get to a small place.
Right.
We're talking about if there's adults, and usually they don't inconvenience themselves. It doesn't look like it was a regular storage place. If it was a regular storage place and they kept there normally, then they'd have to search it anyway. Anyways, you're right, but we're talking about what the assumption is. What is, what should we expect? Now, we have in Sif Lamet, chometz shenofla olav mapoilus. If you have chometz that you have a pile, a heap fell upon it. So, you know, a lot of times you know there is something there, but then it's sort of gotten out of the way, out of sight, because something fell on it and covers it up. Here he's talking about a heap, as he explains, Pirush Gal Shel Avonim Ve'Ofer. You have a heap of stone and sand, it's covered up. Now the problem is, you know that there is chametz over there, you know for sure, it's not even a question, but now it's totally covered.
How do you know?
Because you had a, you know, you had something there, you know, you had the pastry, you had something. Let's say the wall, let's say a house falls, the olden days especially, let's say the house caved in, right, it fell in, fell down. And you know that there was definitely chometz in the house, and there was cereal, there was other things, and now it's covered underneath there. Now, the question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to have to clean up that? That's a big job, you know, again, it's not, probably they didn't have all the town regulations that you can't have on your property, whatever, you know, they just left it over there. It was a big job to get away, get, you know, to clean it up. So he says like this, if the dog cannot smell its smell, so that means he can, it's further than the dog smell, and to go search for it, because what is the shiur, what is the amount? He says the hainu sheyeshel of goyva gimel tvachim, it has the height of three tvachim, three hand breadth on top of it, that's considered about the height that the dog cannot smell. That is considered as if it's gone from the world. It's no longer exists because it's underneath such a heap. As long as the dog cannot get it, it's considered it doesn't exist because he's not going to go after it. So it's for all intended purposes, it doesn't exist anymore. And you will not be over from the Torah, even if you don't give up your hope for it. You know, you say, yeah, I want it. You know, you like it, whatever it is. But it's still, it's no longer considered to be around.
Does the principle out of sight, out of mind apply to chametz? Like if you can't see it?
No. If you own it, you're still no good.
No, but like there might be chametz in your house when you're cleaning.
That's why you're mevatlet. That's why what you're doing is you're nullifying it and you're making it worthless,
right,
and it becomes like hefker. So then you don't own it anyway.
You can't physically remove it.
Yeah, but technically, once you search for your chametz and you didn't find anything, and you did you did it in a decent way. You weren't negligent, and then you would find chametz. You would not be violating from the past. You would just have to remove it right now. If you don't remove it then you would be violating. But up to that point, no. So now we're saying.
Certain dogs,
over here, I guess he's talking about average over here. So he says, so even if you did not give up your ownership of the dog, it's gone. And he says, even to begin with, so even to begin with, one can throw a heap of stones or sand on top of chametz, even after the time of the removal of chametz have arrived, and that way will be destroyed from the world. We learn a very important halacha, that it makes a difference when you are removing your chametz. If you're removing the chametz before the sixth hour, that means the sixth hour of the day. You divide the day into 12 hours and 6 hours before the beginning of the sixth hour. That's 1 hour before the afternoon, approximately. It's a quarter of the day. No.
It's 24 hours in a day.
Yeah, you're right. We're talking about the day here. I'm more used to thinking about the daytime. Because we're going to sunrise to sunset.
Which is 12 hours.
12 hours. So that would be six of them.
The year.
Yeah, it'll be 1 hour short than midday, right? Midday is 6 hours.
Right.
At the end of the 6 hours is midday. That's
right.
Split in the middle.
Right.
1 hour before, one seasonal hour. Seasonal hour means made up of this time of the year, whatever, how many minutes that hour happens to be. One portion of 12 of the daytime.
So that's why, like 11 o'clock in the morning.
That's why we stop eating chametz, and that's why we stop eating the burning. That's why we have the times and the when we can eat and when we have to burn the chametz.
They didn't have watches then. How did they know what an hour was?
That's because they used all physical signs. They had physical signs, right?
So
first of all, there was a sand dial, there was a sundial, and there was other things. But still. You know what? All the measurements were mostly physical. Like you can see when the sun is above your head, and then you can estimate approximately when it comes.
They have it down to the minute. Probably they did it by the approximation.
Yeah. And that's actually why they gave an extra hour, because people can make a mistake. So you're not actually, when we say the beginning of the sixth hour, it's only from the rabbis. From the Torah, you can actually go up till the seventh hour, the beginning of the seventh hour, because that's the Torah's. Torah tells of midday. We gave an extra hour. We gave an extra hour earlier. The rabbis.
This is just a cover.
A protection, absolutely. And for eating, they gave you 2 hours extra. So to burn it, they give you 1 hour extra, and that's why there's an extra hour for the eating. Eating, you want to finish even more, because there's more about eating it in the wrong time. But the major difference over here is that if you remove the chametz before the sixth hour, you can either sell it to a goy, you can give it to him as a gift, or you can actually just take it out of your property and put it in the public place and say, hefker, everybody can go ahead and get it. But after the sixth hour has arrived, you can't do any of that. Why? Because the thing is no longer yours to really give it away, because the Torah has already prohibited, the Rabbanon have prohibited the beginning of sixth hour. So at that point, you have to remove it from the world physically. What is considered removal from the world physically is considered to put it in a place where no human can ever benefit from it. Not ever, could not benefit from it now. If you would throw it in the river, if you flush it down the toilet, if you do that, that would be sufficient. Although some opinions say you have to actually burn it, but that's not the halacha. The halacha is that you can, if you get rid of it, you throw it, or you have to sort of crumb, you know, make it into crumbs or small pieces. Because if you put it in the river, conceivably somebody's going for a boat ride can pick it up. Or it's a kind of a whatever it is. But, yeah.
Okay.
So in this case, only, excuse me. So in this case, what he's saying, if you should, even after the sixth hour, and you should go ahead and drop it, or the seventh hour, whenever the Torah says, if you should go and drop a mapoilis, a three tfachim of a heap, on top of chametz, that's considered to destroy. That's considered destroyed from the world. It no longer exists as far as we're concerned because the dog can't get to it, it's gone. It's not anymore in existence.
Why does that matter though? Because you're selling it.
That's true. We're saying even if you didn't sell it, and even if you didn't mabatel it, that's another way of getting rid. If you don't have to sell it, and how are you going to sell it to the guy? The guy isn't going to want to buy something that's underneath the heap.
But a dog will dig far.
But he says not more than three tfachim, he says.
Won't dig
under three tfachim, he won't smell it, he won't dig for it.
He'll do it.
Okay.
But when you sell it,
breed.
You sell all the
Okay, domains. There's different breeds, but yeah. I'm thinking, they're talking about...
That's another question. So, the burning is a rabbinical, or is it from the Torah, the burning of the chametz?
Rabbinical.
Only... So first the time. Time... Before the time arrives. Now, again, what does it mean, the time? It depends on whether we're talking about the time of the rabbis or the time of the Torah.
Okay.
The time for the Torah is midday.
Right.
Time of the rabbis is 1 hour before.
Okay.
Is the beginning of the sixth hour for burning the chametz. It's the beginning, at the end of the fourth hour for eating the chametz. So the eating the chametz has to be the end of the fourth hour. And also, we do the burning at the end of the fifth hour as well.
But who determined the burning? Is it halacha? Or is it the rabbi?
So, okay. So technically, so I'm saying to you, again, listen carefully.
Yeah.
Before the time that chametz is prohibited, when is that time? If it's from the Torah, it's midday, but from the rabbis, it's from the beginning of the sixth hour. Before the sixth hour, for all practical purposes, before the 6 hours, you don't have to burn it, and you don't even have to get rid of it from the world. All what you got to get it out of your possession. How do you get it out of your possession? You sell it to a guy, you give it to a guy, or you put it into the street and you say, everybody, you go ahead and take it and let everybody take it. That's number one. By the way, even if you did that, which is okay to do, and nobody took it, you're not allowed to take it back after Pesach.
Because
the Chachamim didn't want you to go take it back, you know, okay. To start hanky-panky stuff over there. You know, you're giving it away, and then you're taking it. What? Yeah, an Indian giver, right? You know.
Wait a minute. I thought after Pesach you get your chametz back.
When you sell it.
He sells it back to you.
Sell back to you.
Yeah, but not to just put it out there. But wait a minute. Let me say this. But after, I want to answer his question, but after the time of burning has arrived, which is the beginning of the sixth hour, then you can't just remove it from your possession by giving it up. You can't sell it. You can't do anything. It doesn't belong to you anymore. Then you got to get rid of it from the world. How do you get rid of it from the world? There's various different ways. You don't necessarily have to burn it.
Okay.
There is one opinion that says you have to burn it, but we don't go by that opinion. That's not the halacha. One opinion says, we say, but the reason we do burn it is because we want to cover that opinion too. So we do burn it. So that's the way you want to know why we burn it. That's why we burn it, because we want to cover that opinion too. But we don't have to burn it. We could, but what we do have to do is we have to get rid of it.
Yeah.
How are you going to get rid of it from the world?
Give it away or
bury it.
In this case, he's telling you can bury it.
Yeah.
If you bury it underneath a heap of three tefachim, that's considered gone from the world, and that would help even after this amount of
year. The rabbis that came up with the burning.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah. But what happens after Pesach? Ulachara Pesach, Yochel Fakech Zakal, you dig up the heap, and then you can go back and you're going to get the Chametz Domen. It's gone from the world, and you're a Zeichet. It will be good from the Torah, but the rabbis don't allow you to do that.
You put it in a baggie, with those Ziplocs, still good.
Still good, that's a pretty good way.
Yeah.
Ziploc, dump it over there, and after Yontif, you take it all back.
Well, how do you pick if you're going to go with the Torah of the rabbis?
You can't pick.
I would go there.
You know, there's been picked for you already.
I'll go the easiest.
The rabbis tell
I'll
you what it is. Well, everybody can do whatever they want. You know, if you don't like the doctor, you go to another doctor. Okay. You pick a rabbi.
Keep going until you get what you want.
Yeah, I mean, that's today's style.
But Rabbi, if that's after what the they seventh do. Hour, okay. Let's say you drop something, you know, like a cup, you bend over and you see some chametz, after the seventh hour.
You got to take it and burn it.
It's too late. Or it's too late, though.
You can burn it, or you can throw it into the toilet.
Oh, it's not too late after the seventh.
You can do it. You have to. It's not too late. You have to. It's too late, but you did what you can.
One is you sold it. You just don't leave it there for Pesach.
You can't leave it anyways for Pesach. If you sold it, I mean, you don't sell just stuff that is laying under the floor. I mean,
no, you sold all your chametz.
That's your mevatel. But if you find it, you got to get rid of it.
Okay.
When you sell your chametz, you shouldn't have it laying around. You have to have it in a cabinet or in a closet. You have to have a place where you have your chametz. But the chametz that is laying around on the floor over there is not something that you sell. That you have to either mevatel or you got to get rid of it.
What do you do at your house? Do you put it in a cupboard and then tape on it?
In more than one place, because we have a lot of space, so we have to put it in different places.
Yeah, we used to put it in the
garage.
In the room in the basement.
Yeah, but you can't go into the garage. The whole. The whole Pesach. But the truth of the matter is, the Rebbe said, like this guy, we learned it one day. The Rebbe said, this guy says, you know, he's going to sell the guy's store and he's going to go use it on Pesach. The Rebbe says, well, he'll be stealing from the guy, you know, his chametz is going to be stolen. But that's, you know, that doesn't, it's not the right thing to do at all.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about, you know, if you sold your basement and then you have a flood in there and something is really wrong, you want to go in there, I mean, you can go in there if you have to.
I once went to a house, an Orthodox person, and they had downstairs a separate kitchen for Passover.
Yeah.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah. We actually transfer our kitchen too. Let's just finish up here. Right. So he says, Avam Divrei Sofer, but the rabbis say, Afilim Nofo Mapel Me'elov. Even if a heap fell on his own, herself, No, you can't just leave it there. Now, they're not going to make you go undo the heap. You know, we're not talking about doing it by yourself. We're talking about something that fell on its own. If you know there's chametz in there, you must give up your hope and you say that you're never going to use that again. And Gizeda, Shema Yispach HaGal, why did the rabbi say that? Because they don't know, you know, heap can be uncovered b'toich haPesach, it'll be revealed v'yizgala chametz, and the chametz will be revealed v'yavarov b'yirov b'yimotz min haTorah, and then you're going to be violating the prohibition of not being seen from the Torah if you're not imloy mevatel koydim shoshishis, if you're not mevatel it, if you don't give it up before the sixth hour, because you can't do it anymore from the sixth hour. Shoshish ve'elech and yochel mevateloid from the sixth hours is not yours anymore to be mevatel. Since he cannot benefit after the 6 hours, because the Chachamim decreed that you can no longer benefit from the beginning of the 6th hour and on, he doesn't have any part, he has no rights to it, he has no privileges in it. It's not his, so that he should be able to go ahead and give it up and be mafkrit. He can't do that after the 6th hour. Now, what happens if he did not give up his hope before the 6th hour? There's something really nice in there. He doesn't want to give it up. He wants it. You know, he wants everything. So, yes, there's those that say, even though he transgressed, he violated the direction of the Chachamim, we will not punish him. See, because ordinarily, if the person would not, if it wouldn't be, what would happen if this would be considered regular chametz? What would be, I mean, not destroyed from the world? He'd have to go and hire workers or himself and go through the pain to uncover everything, take out the chametz over there and get it rid of there. So the rabbis give you an idea. They say to you, okay, we're not going to make you do that, but what are we going to make you do? We're going to make you do the bittul. Give up your hope for it and don't want it anymore. Like, make it hefker, and you're not going to use it. Give up. That'll be sufficient for us. So, why are we telling you to do that? So, just in case during Pesach it's going to open up, so then you're not going to be violating from the Torah about your Yerobah Yimotze, because it's not yours anymore. So it's bittul. It's hefker. It doesn't belong to you. Fine. Does you do? Now the guy doesn't want to give it up, so he just lets it sit there. So there's one person that said, one opinion that says that we're not going to punish you and make you open it up because you didn't listen to Chachamim. Chachamim said if you want to leave it there, you have to be mevatel, you have to give up your rights to it, you have to give up your intents for it. But here, he says, we're not going to punish you to go ahead and take it out of Vermin Oilom. okay, you transgressed, fine. But from the Torah, it's mevur min ha'olam. And therefore, since it's mevur min ha'olam, he says, you can go ahead and take it. After Pesach, it's gone. Now it's a new thing. Now you can go ahead and take it after Pesach. So according to one opinion.
Something you want.
Yeah.
You put it on the table, you pile stuff.
No, here we didn't talk about piling. Here we're talking about filling its own. No. Now we're not talking about you getting rid. Getting rid was according to the Torah. But we're talking about from the rabbis, you're not allowed to go ahead and get rid of it. The rabbis don't let you get rid by putting something over it. So they just say that if it fell...
You got to take everything off.
Yeah. One second. Now, he says here, afili naflo, I'm assuming, so it seems like, it says, even if it falls, he has to be mevatel, so it almost seems like, even if he puts it, and he's mevatel, I'll be okay. I have to read to the end. Let me see what the end is, what he says. But v'im le'batla koidim shosh shishis. But what happens, okay, so one person says, we just learned one opinion, that okay, you know, you didn't do what the rabbis told you to do, but they'll let you get away. But the Yeshchel cannot call Zeb. There's some that disagree in the whole thing. Even if it has three tefachim on top, it's not considered like it's been gone from the world at all. It is just like as if it had been in a pit. And Beir Sichon Ma'ariv is a various round pit or a long pit or in a cave, somewhere that you don't see. It's the same thing in the Mapilus over there. The Torah, you're not seeing it, but it's still found. It's in your property, it's in your territory. You own it. It's B'chol Gevulcha. B'chol Gevulcha, you cannot have found. So being in your property is just as problematic. The Torah doesn't allow it. Kumeshi is Barbi Simon Tov Mem, as we will see in the Simon Tov Mem. So therefore, what are we to do? He said, so you have a problem, something fell on it. It's very difficult to clean up. What are you gonna do with it? So if he doesn't want to remove it at the time of when it comes the time to remove it, so then from the Torah he has an obligation to nullify this before the sixth hour. And doing this bittul, the person fulfills his obligation also from the rabbis. The rabbis, we said, had really one of two suggestions that you can do. You can either remove the chametz physically, or you can give up your rights. But the chachamim didn't want you to give up rights, or be mevatlet, to give up the importance and make it like hefker. So, but the rabbanon didn't want you to make it like hefker. Why? We said before, why do we go bothering searching? Why don't we just take all our chametz and say that it's hefker? Because the chachamim were afraid that you might, if it's in your possession, you might come to eat it. But in this case, this will fulfill the results. The main reason why the Chachamim decreed that the bittul nullifying it and giving up your ownership doesn't help for Elo Kadesh Lishkav Yovel Achlam and Pesach is not to forget, so we'll come to eat in Pesach. If he's just going to nullify it and he's not going to physically remove it totally. But this, you have a chametz that has a pile of three tefachim on top of it. The dog cannot take it out from there and place it in an open area. Now here it says that he can't take it out of there. It almost sounds like maybe he can smell it, but it's too deep for him to drag it out. It's three tefachim, it's too heavy of a pile. Before he said he doesn't smell it, but here he's saying he just cannot take it out. But maybe he says he cannot take it out because he doesn't smell it. So maybe, I'm not sure, maybe it's the combination of the both. But since the entire Pesach is going to be hidden, covered from the eye, so he's not going to come to eat from it. That is only if what? If you're mevatlet. So in other words, you're going to do the Torah commandment for it. But if before the 6 hours you weren't mevatlet, so now you have a problem because this is not mevur. This is not considered removed from the world. Now you have to undo this heap and to remove the chametz from there and to remove it. If you didn't do bittul, it's not going to help you at all, according to the second opinion. It's not going to help you. The im yesh. Now, we have a problem. There's the whole garage fell down. There's a whole mess over there. What is he going to do? He kept in his garage. He kept, you know, wine. He kept the liquor. He kept pastries. He kept all chametzik stuff. The garage caved in. Everything is over there.
Right.
And what are you going to tell him now? What are you going to... Now we're saying to him, if you weren't mevatel before the sixth hour, so one of them was lenient. One opinion. The first opinion was lenient and said, okay, the chametz had to mevatel. You didn't mevatel. You didn't remove it. What are we going to do with it? We'll let you go. That's what the first opinion. Second opinion says, no. We can't let you go. Why can't we let you go? Because from the Torah, it's not your, you aren't mevatel it, so it's yours. It's your chametz. The fact that it has a pile doesn't make it not yours. That doesn't make it, that's just like it's in a pit, it's somewhere else. So now he's stuck with a problem, according to this view.
You say mevatel, you meaning?
Giving up hope. We do the bittul, that's what we do. We make it like dust. We say,
that's
discount it. That's because chametz, that's what we do with the leftover, what we don't. We make it valueless.
It's so long.
Yeah.
Right, you gotta sell it.
No, what you're saying is, the one that you sell, you're not mavat, you're selling. But anything that's left, okay, that you were talking about, whatever is left on the floor that I missed or I've known, I don't want anymore, I just don't.
But if it was in the garage and he sold it and it caved in,
that didn't change. Well, I don't know. Yeah, l'charin has no change. That wouldn't change. But we're talking about if it caved in and you didn't mevatel it. Okay, but it's supposed to be mevatel it. So he said like this. What happens, im yesh chasach sakona, sometimes it could be a danger. There is maybe a danger to open it up because you have all kinds of animals or things, or snakes, you know, I guess in the heap over there. There could be a danger. Let's say they said there's scorpions over there in that area. But he says a scorpion is more dangerous because he says a snake isn't as certain it's going to be damaging as a scorpion. A scorpion, you'll stop anything, you're going to get bit over there. It could danger yourself. Ayin simon kuf dalet.
In Arizona, they had rattlesnakes. They were dangerous.
Yeah, but if you're in the Blue Hills, you can see a black snake and a rattlesnake. So they're both.
So, okay, so he says, so a place where there is scorpions, ba'ashpes and bagalim, in the heaps, in the garbages and in the heaps, they're common over there. How do you, so then, not only, so what does it mean? He's stuck now. He himself can't do it. He can't do the job because he's going to get bitten. So now.
Usually you don't know if there's scorpions.
Yeah, but he says if it's common over there. So there's like.
It's known.
It's a known thing that they hang out over there in those places. So now he's stuck. What is he going to do? So he says, you got to hire professionals. You got to spend all that money. Chayiv. Haru chayiv lishkopolim. So he must hire workers. Sheiv chos agal. That they should dig up the pot out the motor of a cardam using a shovel and an axe. In such a way, in a way that there won't be dangerous, you know. They must take out the chametz from there. So what is the ruling in this case now? So we have two opinions. One opinion says, if you want to battle it, okay, it's done, a done deal. Other one says, no good, you gotta go and hire people. Now it's very interesting. It seems, I'm just trying to get the sense from the Shulchan Aruch over here. It's very interesting. It seems like the people didn't have so much money in those days. And they didn't. And it's a big problem to go hire somebody. You know how many hiring we do today to clean up our places? We hire cleaning people and we hire. You know, Pesach is a major expense. Forget about the cooking and the food, but just getting your home ready for Pesach, you know. A little bit, you would try that, you know, somewhat, you know, but it seems like it was a big deal to go hire workers to undo, you know, what do? You know, it's an expense. People didn't have the money to go ahead and spend for it. So what do we do, halacha? You know, the problem is, I mean, I don't understand why the guy is so stubborn and he's not mevatlet.
You got 13 kids.
But maybe, they don't come around to clean. They come to eat the Pesach. They let somebody else do the cleaning. No, I'm just kidding. No, but you know, the boys are good, very good. They helped a lot.
My father never bought a snowboard. He was four kids.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was growing up, I don't know about you, but if you had somebody clean your house, you were very wealthy.
Yeah.
Cleaning person. Right?
What I'm saying is, so here we're talking about the Shulchan Aruch. Spending money on cleaning the house. They say, go see what it costs to go hire a hotel to go for Pesach. You know.
Over 200 years.
Lock your door and take the cruise.
That's it. Yeah, president. Yeah. Okay, so anyways, so, all right, so what do we do? But the question is, what do we do? When it comes to a Torah matter, we need to be stringent like the latter opinion to go ahead and dig it up. What happens if there's such a big heap that even with a shovel and with an axe, you can't go clean it up? That's considered loss from the owner and also from all people. Because
but if you sold it, why can't you just leave it there because you sold it?
Sold it wouldn't be a problem, but he didn't sell it and he didn't give it up. That's the problem. If he would, that wouldn't be a problem.
If he sold it...
You know, somebody came to the rabbi. He said, I put a milchik spoon in a milchik pot. What is the law? The rabbi said, the milchik spoon in a milchik pot is kosher.
Right?
Because milchik's a milchik. If the guy sold it, that's not going to be a problem, because if he sold it, then it's not his. Then we're talking about this guy is stubborn. He didn't sell it.
Oh, he wanted to keep
it. Yeah, he didn't sell it. But now, why is he mevatel it? Maybe he can't get himself to be mevatel it. Maybe he's too cheap. Maybe he can't give up his hope for it, because even though it's older, he wants it. And maybe he, in his heart of heart, I don't know, maybe he feels that he can't give it up. He can't really, because this is not just a play of words. We're going to learn later on. If you're not really making it hefke, you're not really giving it up, then forget it. Then don't do it. You know, then you have to get rid of it. It's only because you're giving it up in your heart.
I thought you had to sell it.
You have to sell it if you're going to keep it. But in addition to selling it, whatever you don't know, like in the sale, you put it in the cabinet. But what about if you miss something? Like you're talking about, you bent down to pick up the cup you were talking about, and then you found there was a nice package of a Hershey bar. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure that's chametz over there, but let's say you find a piece of a bagel, you know, or something, or in a plastic something, you know, something that pretty good. You want to? Okay, now from that instant, you're going to be over by your rabbi yimotz if you don't get it right away. The chametz don't want you to. So the chametz said be mavatlet, so it's not yours. So it's no longer yours. It's.
But with that garage thing where the house collapses.
But you didn't sell it. You didn't sell it before then. You wanted to keep it. And maybe you thought that you couldn't sell it. I mean, you're asking a good question. I mean, I don't know why he did what he did.
Yeah.
We have to find, why did he do that? Why is he stubborn? Why is he a battle? Or, you know, it seems like he's not going to get it out anytime soon anyways, because it's all buried underneath there.
Right.
It's all hypothetical, because it's not necessarily...
No, but we have to find some sort of he wants to find a rationale for somebody.
Yeah, no.
Why would somebody be doing it? Not selling it. Well, quite frankly, I really think that he can't sell this. How could he sell this? This would not be a good sale. You can't sell something that you can't get to. What are you selling to the guy? This would be a fraud. You're selling him the Brooklyn Bridge.
Right.
You know, what are you doing? You're selling him chametz that he can't get to? You can't sell this, even if you wanted to sell it. I don't think he can sell this.
But if he sold it before it collapsed, then he...
Okay, I don't know. Okay, before it collapsed, maybe. Okay, that's not it. But what happens? It collapsed and it has the chametz, now he's stuck. What is he going to do?
Right.
Okay, now the question is, why is not mevatel? But maybe, I'm just saying, maybe he just can't get himself to be mevatlet. Maybe there's a lot of stuff there and he's open. So you're saying to him, okay, so go, you know what? So you're telling him, listen. Now, the guy figures like this. If I'm going to be mevatlet, and then I'm going to be able to use it, but he can't get to it. So maybe he's honest. Maybe he says, I can't be mevatlet because I really want it. You know, I'm going to get to it later. And doesn't want it. Okay, so what is he saying? So, but if it's such a big pile, that even with a shovel and with a hammer, with an axe, you can't get to it. That's according to everybody. If it's such a big thing, it's such a deep thing that it's really, you know, you had a whole, you know, the flood, what fell now over there in Washington,
the
mudslide, or the Twin Towers coming down, you know, something like that.
Thing that happened in the Queens, remember when they had that flood last year?
Sandy. Yeah.
Okay, so that came in the fall, so if that came in the spring.
Yeah, everything. So,
you
said, L'divrei HaKol, that's gone according to all opinions. Then you don't even have to do anything. You don't have to be mevatlet. Why? That you can't see your chametz. Should be lecha. It's not called yours. It's not yours anymore. This is what's under such a pile isn't considered yours. Since he can't even take it out, which means workers can take it out with a hammer. With that, this is not taken out at all. So in such a level, which you can't even, workers can't get it out. He has no zchus. Now, of course, you know, if you're bringing a backhoe and a heavy piece of equipment, maybe you can get it out. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about standard. Yeah.
Does it make a difference if the chametz is palatable or not? Let's say it's a piece of bread, but it's stale. You're not going to eat it anyway.
Okay. So the level is again. We're also going to measure it by the dog. If it's the measure is by the dog, again, this is the measure. Before the seventh hour, no, that's the measure, that's the level. You have to estimate, you have to borrow somebody's dog and have him see if he's going to do it. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but, no. Like, you can have
but dogs are a very important part in determining.
See, they use the term a lot of things based on, because that was what they used.
You know, they say this joke about this rabbi. Who had this simple guy, you know, used to come to the rabbi, always ask him a question about the chicken. They made a shechet, they want to know it's kosher or not. You know, today everything is kosher, it's in the supermarket. The rabbi looks it over, and when you get it home, it's already all, it's kosher. But in the olden days, you brought the chicken, you brought it to the rabbi to check, see, is it kosher, is it not, did it break, could it live, or not, is it treif or not. So you bring, and the guy used to come to the rabbi, and then all of a sudden he stopped coming. So the rabbi says, what happened? You know, he says, Rabbi, I tell you, you know, to come from my place where I live to you is a very big expense, it takes time and everything else. I once heard, last time I came, I heard that the rabbi said that if it's meat is not kosher, it's treif, you throw it out to the dogs, you know, and then, so I figured, why do I have to go schlep to the rabbi? He says, I'll throw it out in the backyard. I'll see if the dogs will eat it, then it's treif. If they don't eat it, it's kosher. Rabbi said, that's a great idea. He says, when'd you come back? He says, Rabbi, he says, my new rabbis are very strict. They make everything treif.
The new rabbis
need to know. He says, they make everything treif. He says... So
if it's a piece of bagel that's like hard as a rock and stale, it's
still if it's no longer fit for a dog's consumption.
So you got to get a dog then.
No, well, there's an estimate of that, and that only will work before the seventh hour, before the sixth hour. But after the sixth hour, even if your dog is not good, it's no good. You got to get rid of it from the world. You just got to destroy it. Then it doesn't help. Okay, let's just finish over here because you want to go home tonight today. Okay, let's go. Hold on. Let's just finish here. Since he cannot take it out of the gal, of the heap, he doesn't have any rights. One more short sif, and we'll leave it at that. Sif Lamed Aleph, subsection 31. The im nafal of gal cotton, if a small heap falls in it, the dog can smell. And to search it, and to take it out from there, which is, he gives you now the measure. That's three tefachim. It has it's not three tefachim high, not three handrests high. So now you say you gave up your hold, you made it hefker, everything. You still got to open up that heap and remove the chametz bizman habir at the time of the removal. Now, why do you have to do that? But you're not going to get to it. The whole reason we said before, he said, is nishke ferlach. He said before, earlier we learned that you're not going to take it out of there. He said, because the only reason the rabbis don't want you to be mevatlit, because they're afraid you're going to go, that you're going to might eat it, but it's still under the heap. But we're afraid. The dog might take it out of there for me to eat it. He was going to leave a little bit of the food, and he's going to leave it open. When a person sees the yishkav yechlan, might eat it. Today's standard of hygiene doesn't allow for these things, really. If you see a dog eat it, or you don't know, I don't think anybody's going to eat it.
Eat chametz, can they?
Yeah, not your chametz that you own, a Pesach, no. Not a Pesach, you're benefiting from it.
No.
Can't feed your dogs. You have birds, people have a problem with to feed the birds. You know, you have...
Well, dogs, you can give them the food you cook.
Yeah.
Or buy one dog food that has chametz in it.
And if there is a worry of a danger to do it by hand, he is still obligated to open up the heap by a shovel and an axe, provided that there is no danger over there. So if it's an under three tefachim heap, then you have no choice. You got to get away. You got to clean it up. If it's more than three tefachim, then he says you got to be stringent, hire the people to get rid of it. You got to hire the people. If it's a large heap that is beyond a shovel and the axe, the shavmar and the kardim, then just that's gone. That's gone. So that's nothing yours. Now, I just want to say to you, all these halachas are all talking in a way, as we're going to learn in the next thing, but we'll leave it over here, is based that you know for sure you have chametz over there. But if you're not sure, it's a lot more lenient than that. Because these are talking about in a case when you know that there is chametz underneath there. But not knowing that there's chametz over there, then you don't have to suspect as much. And therefore, the rules will change according to that. Now, we learned also there is, we learned later on, let's say in your house, like sometimes there's a crack. I mean, we learned it before. Sometimes there's a crack. Like it's so deep down, you can't get to it. You know, even if you see a cookie. You see a cookie over there. If you can't reach it over there and it's down there and you can't reach it, he did not require over there to go ahead and undo your floor and go ahead. He said he considered that to be like it was removed. I mean, he's going to check it up over there. The halacha that we learned, if it's places that you can't get to, it's so deep away and you're not going to get there. I think we did learn in section Yud Ches and Yud Tes, we talk about you are mevatlit, you are giving up hope. I mean, you don't want it. But it says that things that are very deep down, even if it's a wide, but your hand doesn't reach that far. You can't reach it. Or it's in the cracks. And we learned in 19. The one is mevatlit and that is no good. But in yes, I have to remember, the only reason the guy is having a problem with the heap when it's a big heap, I'm talking when it's a little heap, he has a problem because the dog might pull it out there and it'll be open. We don't allow for that. You know, but when it's a three tefachim, the only problem we have is because he's not being mevatlet. And since he's not mevatlet, then he has to deal with it. But if he's mevatlet, that would be good too. Yep.
The cracks, you know, next to your seats in the car. You drop food.
You gotta go. You put it next to the Walmart. They got a good place over there. They clean up your car and everything else.
They get it out.
You can't.
They get everything out. They shampoo it.
Down there.
Yeah, but you move your seat back and forth. They have all the different ways today.
Yeah, we have inside.